1,000 jobs. If you put it into education, you'd get 29,000 jobs. If you put it into anything else, you would get more jobs. In fact, I don't think they counted this one, but I would be pretty sure if you took all that money and dropped it from airplanes onto people, that they would create a lot more jobs than the military would create. And it doesn't keep us safe. As I mentioned, there are more groups that would like to attack us than there were before. ISIS is indeed a threat. We just see probably a terrorist attack on the plane that came down going from France to Egypt. But let's remember what Martin Luther King said at the time of the Vietnam War stands true today. The U.S. is the largest purveyor of violence in the world. And it's not only the violence that the U.S. does directly, it's also the indirect violence, because our number one industrial export right now is what? Weapons. And when your number one export is weapons, your number one global marketing strategy is? War. Endless war. So the U.S. sells weapons. Lots and lots of weapons. And the number one purchaser of U.S. weapons is? No, it's not Israel. Saudi Arabia, that's right. Now think of how absurd and how obscene this is. Saudi Arabia, a country that is number one in beheadings in the world, a country that treats women as minors their entire lives, the only country in the world where women are not even allowed to drive. A country that exports extremism, Wahhabism, the distorted form of Islam that is exported around the world thanks to the petrodollars that the Saudis have. The Saudis, who got involved in the internal affairs of Yemen, dropping bombs since March of last year that have killed thousands of people, thousands of innocent people, and have taken that poor country of Yemen to the extreme of a humanitarian crisis. With our weapons, including cluster bombs banned by the international community, that makes us complicit in war crimes. The Saudis are number one purchaser of weapons. The number one recipient of U.S. military money is Israel. Another major human rights violator, an apartheid state that on a daily basis is oppressing the Palestinian people. That state is the number one recipient of our tax dollars to the tune of $3 billion a year, but that's not enough for the Israeli government. In fact, to give their okay to the Iran nuclear deal, they said, you must sweeten this by giving billions more to us. They wanted $5 billion. Obama said, let's go for $4 billion. We're at $4 billion. Negotiations still going on. They want more. This is where our tax dollars go. This is where our weapons go. Number two recipient, military aid, Egypt. An extreme violator of human rights that came to power through a coup. And it's not enough to sell those weapons overseas. Those weapons manufacturers, those greedy weapons manufacturers that Pope Francis said have blood on their hands, are also looking for more internal markets. They look at the 18,000 police departments in the United States and they want to sell their weapons and their tanks, their assault rifles, their grenade launchers, their drones. They want to sell them right here in our communities to put down our own people, particularly poor people of color who are the victims of the militarization of our police forces.
You're listening to Code Pink co-founder Medea Benjamin at the Left Forum in New York City.
So here we have a war economy out of control, a military-industrial complex out of control, and a peace movement that has been incapable of striking fear into those in power and moving them away from this military-industrial complex. So let's recognize that another place we have to put blame for all of this is ourselves, for not being capable of building the kind of movement that we need, the effective movement to put pressure in the places where we need to put it. So now we look at the opportunities that we have. Well, when Obama came in, our peace movement died. We had a strong peace movement under Bush. Obama came in, people said, oh, that peace president is going to take care of it. He obviously didn't. Well, fool me once. What did George Bush say? Don't fool me again. I think one positive thing we can say about a prospect of either a Hillary Clinton or a Donald Trump presidency is we will be not fooled again. There are no illusions that either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton are going to be the peace presidents that we need. There is no illusion that they are going to get us out of the endless wars. It's interesting that Donald Trump has said a couple of interesting things, hasn't he? Like that NATO is obsolete. It's a great thing to say. It certainly is obsolete. He even said that he would talk to Kim Jong-un of North Korea. It's a positive thing to say. But let's not be fooled by Donald Trump. And remember, at the heart of his campaign is the Islamophobia that he's been preaching, is the anti-immigrant hatred that he has been preaching. He's even said that he would bring back torture, do whatever you have to do. So Donald Trump is certainly not going to be a peace president. But that gives us the opening, because people will be ready to protest. In fact, just yesterday, in D.C., we protested at the opening of Hillary Clinton's offices. And it was quite amusing because we went as billionaires for Hillary. We went as with signs that says, I make weapons, I love Hillary. Wall Street loves Hillary. And we stood outside as the mayor of Washington, D.C. went in, as different officials went in. And they looked at us in kind of horror as we said, we are the 1%, we want Hillary for president. And Hillary, she's our gal, take our corporate money now. But the workers who were working for those officials came out and said to us, thank you for being here. We agree with you 100%. There are lots of people that agree with us and that are happy to see us protesting already from the get-go about Hillary taking money from Wall Street, about Hillary representing the weapons industry, about Hillary taking $10 million from the Saudis as part of her Clinton Foundation. These are things that have to be exposed. Whether or not Hillary Clinton makes it to the White House, we need these movements to pressure her. And the other thing we need to do is build an alternative to the war economy that does not depend on who is in the White House. And let me just say, on building this alternative economy, it's a couple of things, and one is happening already on a very wide scale, which is called the localized economy. I'm sure that many of you are part of it. Instead of investing in the big banks, you invest in credit unions. Instead of buying from factory farms, you buy from local farmers and organic farms. Instead of buying from sweatshops, you buy from thrift stores. Instead of crass consumption, you reuse and you recycle. Instead of buying fracked oil, you buy your energy from solar and wind. This is the kind of economy we have to build, and from the war economy, we have to convert from the top down. Remember conversion? It was a big thing during the 70s and 80s. We have to bring back the whole idea of economic conversion, where we take these militaries and bases and the factories and turn them into the wind farms we need, turn them into the solar farms we need. Instead of Aegis destroyers that are floating in the Gulf, We should turn them into floating hospitals that are going to take care of the refugees and the people who are fleeing from the wars that we start and the people who are fleeing from the natural disasters from the climate crisis. This is what we need to turn the war economy into. And so I want to end by saying that we have a tremendous opportunity to show that whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, they represent an economy that's built on competition. We want one that's built on cooperation. Instead of one that's built on constant growth that destroys the future, we want one built on sustainability. Instead of one built on us versus them, we want one that's built on interconnectedness. Instead of one that judges success by wealth, like Donald Trump, from casinos to luxury hotels to how many golf courses he's built, we want ones that are measured by healthy communities and healthy ecosystems. We want a vision that engages and inspires and unites people from the Black Lives Matter movement, the immigrant rights movement, the peace movement, the environmental movement, the labor rights, the artists, the students, to say that we will only give peace a chance when we challenge those in power and replace the war economy with a local peace economy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Notes from the Left Forum with peace activist Code Pink co-founder Medea Benjamin, recorded in New York City on May 20th, 2016. You can learn more about Code Pink's issues and campaigns by going to codepink.org. Rage, rebellion, organizing our power was the theme of this year's Left Forum. Notes from the Left Forum was produced at WBAI News in New York by Linda Perry, with thanks to Brian Drolet at Deep Dish TV and Seth Adler and Associates at the Left Forum. Thanks for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Peacemaking and Connection, an experiential weekend workshop with 8 Shields PDX and John Young, taking place June 10th through 12th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center in Veronia, Oregon. The 8 Shields model provides a map to the principles and practices of peacemaking. Many conflicts can be avoided altogether, and conflicts that do arise can be managed with respect for all, with community balance and stability. Again, that's Peacemaking and Connection, an experiential weekend workshop with 8 Shields PDX and John Young, taking place June 10th through 12th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center, 18062 Kesey Road in Veronia, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th, to take place in locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence is an annual celebration of placemaking, community, natural building, music, and art. During the daytime, there will be 35 natural building and public arts projects to take part in. During the evening, there will be food, speakers, musical performances, and more. Again, that's the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th in Portland. Information on project locations, performances, speakers, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the historic White Eagle Saloon, presenting a variety of live music from regional and national artists and offering pub-themed dinner options, cocktails, updated sound, adjoining courtyard, hotel rooms, and legends of ghost hauntings. Located on Lower Russell Street in Northeast Portland, full schedule at whiteeaglesaloon.com. And also Siren Nation, presenting the 11th Annual Dolly Parton Hoot Night, Saturday, June 25th, at the Alberta Rose